Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Rasulullah sallallahu aleyhi ve sellem says in a hadith, "Uzkuru dhikra hazim al-ladat al-maut." Remember that thing in abundance which kills the carnal desires, death. Death. They say, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, one of Muhammad Zakir rahmatullahi alayhi, in his last journeys around the world, the most thing he used to stress was two things. Remember, death in abundance, and read much as salatu was salam on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he was a spiritual doctor of the time, he understood how the ummah has distanced themselves from the love and the connection of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if a person keeps reciting salatu was salam, follows the sunnah, then obviously that person will get connected to and attached to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is compulsory. Like the way we read five times daily salat, every single individual has to read five daily salat. If a mother says on behalf of her son, "I'll read yours," yeah, the son says, "I'll read yours, mommy, you don't have to read your salat." Or if anybody was to read somebody else's salat, it's not accepted. To such extent that a person is on his deathbed, he's in the hospital, he's in extreme condition, he can't do wudu, so do tayammum. And he can't do ruku sajda, he's in bed, even then he has to perform salat. Salat is never forgiven, salat. So like salat is farz ain, compulsory upon each individual at all times, the same way the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is compulsory and necessary at all times upon each individual, every ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hazrat Shaykh used to say, remember two things, death, and send much as you can salat of salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because when a person does send salatu wasalam, he remembers. You need, in other words, remember Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam much as you can. My Shaykh even looks at look at a 6 years old child and think of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was 6 years old. What happened? And what happened when he was 6 years old? What happened when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 6 years old? Huh? His mother Amina passed away. So when you look at a 6 years old child, think that this child, or when your son is 6 years old, look at him and think, what if my son did not have a mother? Understand? But these people, they think like this. And my shaykh is always in the thoughts of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Always. So, Hazrat Shaykh said two things. Remember death in abundance and the love of Rasulullah sallam by reading salatu wasalam much as you can. Read salatu wasalam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we study the hadith, in the hadith Rasulullah said that the hearts get rusted as iron or metal gets rusted when water reaches it. So the question was posed, what is the way of polishing those rusted hearts? So Rasulullah said, the recitation of the Holy Quran and remembrance of death. Recitation of the Holy Quran. Now Rasulullah said, recitation of the Holy Quran. But a step before the recitation is the love of Rasulullah to get to the Quran. Understand? A person, dhikrullah, the dhikr of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or if a person wants to live the Quran, how does he live the Quran? Live Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, then how did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam live? So what would she say? Have you read the Quran? What is the Quran? Khulukuhu al-Quran, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's akhlaq was Quran. So you see, so if a person says, I love the Quran, and we only follow the Quran, and we only act upon the Quran, and we're only connected to the Quran, but not connected to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, never is accepted, never. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. If you love Allah, then اِدُّوا مَا اِتِّبَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. So if you want the closest way in the proximity to Allah, is in the اِتِّبَى نَبِي كَرِيمٍ صلى الله عليه وسلم. In the zahir, in the batin, at all times, in all places, in every manner. One is the sunnat al-zahiri, and then there's also the sunnat al-batini. Understand? There's the external sunnat and the internal sunnat. There's a sunnah that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we read in Shama'il Tirmidhi. The whole And even in Hazrat's book here, Manifestation of the Prophet Muhammad, you read the Sunnah, there's different things that Rasulullah ate, there's different things that Rasulullah wore, there's different things that Rasulullah did, how he walked, how he talked, all these things. So this is the external Sunnah and the external beauty of Rasulullah. Likewise, his heart, Rasulullah's heart was totally pure. And never can we follow Rasulullah's heart in the complete, but at least try it. I'll give you one example of a Sunnati Batini that's proven from this hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his beloved Qadim, Hazrat Anas, Imam Tirmidhi has narrated this narration, Ya Bunay, O my beloved, if you can spend a morning and evening in this state that you have no hatred, no ill feeling, no anger, no malice, no jealousy towards anyone, do so. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, Ya Bunay, in qadrat in tusbih wa tumsiya, falaysa fi qalbika ghish li ahadin fa'al. That in your heart there's no ghish or ghil, which is a thing of the heart. A person has this ill feeling towards a Muslim brother, do so, because this is from amongst my sunnah. And a person who loves my sunnah loves me, and a person who loves me will be from ma'ya fil jannah, will be with me on the day of judgment. So this is from my sunnah. What is from my sunnah? That Rasulullah never kept any ill feelings, any hatred towards anybody. Understand? So if a person could be a big Sufi reading Quran, Tasbih, Tarawih, but he has hatred with Muslim brothers. He has takabbur, he has jealousy, he has these kind of evil diseases of the heart. So these are evil diseases. This is why a person goes to a spiritual shaykh, to take away these evil diseases. Understand? So this is the sunnate batani of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is proven from this hadith. Now, a person to see, if a person has gish or ghil, it's not seen. So you see, this is a batini, internal sunnah. Internal. And he said, this is my sunnah. And a person who loves my sunnah loves me. And a person who loves me will be with me on the day of judgment. فَذَلِكَ مِن sunnati, he said. This is my sunnah. What is my sunnah? To have your heart pure without any ill feelings, without any hatred with anybody. Is this seen? If I hate somebody right now, can somebody see it? If I have a vera, can you see it? Can you see my amama? Right? Can you see my clothes? Yeah, you can see my clothes. You can see this is a sunnah tibai. This is the external sunnah you can see. But can you see the internal sunnah this? You can't. So this is also internal sunnah. Understand? And so this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is Allahumma rizukna ittaba'a nabiyyana Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam zahir wa batin. Allah enable us to follow Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the external and in the internal. Right? Zahir wa batin wa qawl wa fi'l. In our verbal, in our oral, and in our speech, and in our actions. Wa qawl wa fi'l. Allahumma rizukna ittiba'a nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam zahiran wa batinan wa qawl wa fi'l wa ibadatan wa adatan. In ibadat, in worship, and adat, in our dealing practices, whatever we do. Understand? And wa akhlaqan, in our akhlaq, in our moral etiquettes with society, and everywhere, at all times. Allahumma rizukna ittiba'a nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam fi kulli zaman wa fi kulli makan wa fi kulli hal. Because everybody is in a zaman, in a hal, in a makan. Zaman is in a time. In a hal, he's in a state. And makan, he's in a place. We're in a place, Masjid al-Taqwa. Hal, what hal is it? Well, somebody's uncle passed away. Understand? Somebody's uncle passed away. That's a hal. Understand? Somebody might be depressed. Somebody might have some worries. This is a hal. The person's in a state. Or a person is in... What hal should we be in? My sheikh says, a time, this hal, the hal of the ummah is... How can a person even laugh? Understand? The situation of the ummah is in such a state that a person should be that his mother just passed away. At all times, a person should be like more in a state of mourning. Understand? Yes, Rasulullah was always smiling too. It's a good day to be smiling too and always give a smile to your Muslim brother. But da'imul huzn. Rasulullah was always huzn. He was always in a state of grief and cry in his heart for what? The success of the mankind, the worry for the ummah, the worry for everybody going into Jannah. So, fi kulli zaman, wa fi kulli makan, wa fi kulli hal. In all state, in all zaman, at all times, and in the time is the time of Ramadan. So, how did Rasulullah live at this time? And he was in Atikaf in the last 10 days. So, this is في كل اللهم ارزقنا اتباع نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في كل زمان وفي كل مكان وفي كل حال. So مكان I talked about and حال and زمان. زمان you need the time that you're in. So this is the last 10 days of Ramadan. So if a person is in a time, if it's windy, how did Rasulullah SAW behave when it was windy? That's a time. It's a time of wind. So a person reads the dua, he worries, this could be a punishment that we read yesterday. وَذْكُرْ أَخَا عَاد. Remember Ad. When they saw that the cloud was coming with dense, cloud was coming, they were merrymaking that it's going to rain. But what did Allah say? Nay, but this is that which you have hastened to, this is the punishment. And Rasulullah, when he used to see the clouds, when the wind used to blow, he used to pace up and down, he used to get worried, he used to become pale. Why? That it might forsake punishment, it might give permission. Halaki Allah said, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ يُعَذِّبُهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. Allah will not punish them as long as you're with them, Rasulullah. This was the mercy of Rasulullah. Allah Akbar. And nor will Allah punish them as long as they keep seeking istighfar. So I was talking about death. So look, you see some people went in Shaban, some people went in the beginning of Ramadan, in the middle 10 days, the last 10 days of Ramadan. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at the dua he made at the time of Janazah Salat. Allahumma ighfir li hayyina wa mayyitina. Now this dua is such a great lesson. Why is it a lesson for us? Everybody always talks about the deceased. So-and-so died, so-and-so passed away, make dua, this and that, this and that. Yes, that's nothing wrong with it, good too. We're supposed to make dua, we're supposed to announce, we're supposed to make each other, we're supposed to visit each other when somebody passes away for 3 days. Understand? So this is, so nothing is good. But look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his ta'aleem, his teaching. Allahumma ighfir li hayyina. What did he say? Oh Allah, forgive our living. Before who? The dead. Allahumma ighfir li hayyina wa mayyitina. And our deceased. Wa shahidina. And the ones who are present. Wa ghaibina. The ones who are not present. Like Najashi, Rasulullah SAW performed his Salatul Janazah. Yesterday we read in Qiyamul Layl, وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزَلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَى أَعْيُنُهُمْ. Allah says, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى. Indeed, you will find, وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُمْ, more ziyada qareeb, more ziyada close, more closer to the believers in respect of mawadda, in respect of love, in kind, affectionate. وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً لِلَّذِينَ, those who say, قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى, that they say that they're Christians. Understand? The true, the real Christians, they never had any really big grudges. This is why when you read the conquest of Syria, right, Futuhat al-Sham, how you see it, many, many, how the Romans accepted. Heraclius was going to accept Islam. He was going to accept Islam. And look at the way Heraclius, my sheikh writes this, and this is only, you'll find it there, you won't find it somewhere else, that look at all the worlds, in the world, Rasulullah, Mawlana, after Abayan Kijan? Look, Heraclius, he wrote a letter, Rasulullah wrote a letter to Hercules, right? Heraclius, the Roman king. And what did he do with that letter? He respected it. And he also gave a dawah to his people. But because there's two reasons why a person does not accept. One is takabbur, ujb. A person has takabbur and hasad, he'll never accept. Pride and hasad, jealousy, he'll never accept. Like those people who know the Quran and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like the way they know their children. Alladhina ya'rifunahu kama ya'rifuna abnahum. They know Rasulullah SAW in the Quran like the way they know, well, okay, they can even have doubts about their wife and their children, but they can't have doubt about the Quran and Sunnah and Rasulullah SAW. That's how much they know the Quran and Rasulullah SAW, but because they're jealous. So jealousy, and another thing is a person's status. He's a king or he's a person of respect, and he thinks that if I bring iman, I'll get down, or my kingdom will go. So it's a very dangerous thing. So he had given dawah and he knew everything of Rasulullah SAW. But what he really did do was respected the letter. He respected it. From that day until today. And the other king, the other empire that was in superpower at the time, the Persian Empire. What did he do? What nerve did this person have to write me a letter like this? He ripped it up and he said, he wrote a letter to one of his governors in Yemen that bring this person to me here. What does he think he is? And then that person sent two of his big Persian messengers to Rasulullah. And this is where, as the Shaykh mentions the hadith, where the person comes, the two messengers come from Persia, and Rasulullah turns his face in disgust. Why? They have big mustaches and no beards. So as the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi says, in real life, Rasulullah turned his face away in disgust because these two Persians did not have beard, a full beard, and they didn't have beard at all, and they had big mustaches. So what happened in the grave when we saw Rasulullah, when we see Rasulullah and we don't have a proper beard, and we don't have we don't have a beard, what happened? Rasulullah turns his face in disgust. Understand? This is why it's very necessary that we keep a beard, and this is wajib too. So he ripped up Rasulullah's letters, and Heracles, he respected it. From that day until today, there is an intizam of the Christians in the world. Understand? This is just having that respect of Rasulullah's letter. Until today, the Christians have rule over the world. Understand that? Yeah, even though the Muslims rule, but the Christians always had, they ruled never. But from that day, the Persians' rule broke, and never, ever, there's a rule after that of the Persian. Never, never. Never was there a rule of the Persians after that day that the person ripped Rasulullah's letter and he threw it away. Understand? So I was saying, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ أَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمُنُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالَّذِينَ شَرْكُوا. So yesterday in Qiyamul Layl we read, وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبْ مَوَدَّةً لِلَّذِينَ آمُنُوا الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى. So those people who say they're Nasara, they're Christians, they will have this feeling for the Muslims too. In the time of Rasulullah, and they did. Najashi, he had such great feelings for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions that he gave refuge to the Sahaba al-Kiram. Understand? He gave refuge to them. The first hijrat was to Habsha, towards where? Ethiopia. Abyssinia at that time, Ethiopia. And he was a very powerful king. And they, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahabas who went there, 70 or 80, he gave them great refuge and such. Refuge in his kingdom that nobody was allowed to do anything to them. And not just that, he accepted Islam. وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَى أَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيدُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ. And when they listened to that which was revealed, وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ, that revealed on Rasul, تَرَى أَعْيُنُهُمْ, you would see in their eyes tears, تَفِيدُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ, and they're shedding. Understand? For knowing the haq, the right. And he accepted Islam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allahumma ighfir li hayyina wa mayyitina." O Allah, forgive our living, our deceased. Wa shahidina wa ghaibina. So shahid, our present, and ghaib. Najashi was ghaib. He was in Ethiopia, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed his salatul janaza. Who? Najashi. In fact, ghaliban one Ummul Mu'mineen radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Was it Umm Habiba radiallahu ta'ala anha? That Najashi, he took the expenses for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's marriage. He sent much presents to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam too, and he had love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such love that imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reading his salatul janaza. Najashi, understand? So he said, "Washahidina wa ghaibina," and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wasagirina wa kabirina," and our young and our old. So before the old, he said, yeah. So before the living, before the dead, he said, the living. And before the ones who are far away, the ones who are close, present. And then the young, وَصَغِيرِنَا وَكَبِيرِنَا. Our younger ones, because young ones go too. And majority of the ones, because that go quickly, are the young ones. And the ones with the white beard, 70, 80, 90 years old, they go too. وَشَاهِدِنَا وَغَائِبِنَا وَصَغِيرِنَا وَكَبِيرِنَا وَزَكَرَ وَنْثَنَا. And our male and our female. Allah, now this is forgiveness for all these people, living, dead, present, non-present, small, big, or older, younger, or male, female. This is all asking for forgiveness. Now look what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Now this is dua of istighfar for everybody, and even in that he made dua for the living first. The living first. So this is a ibra that in this dua, just this salatul janaza dua, he said, Allahumma man ahyaytahu minna fa'ahyihi alal Islam. O Allah, whosoever amongst us you keep him alive on Islam. Wa man tawaffaytahu minna fatawaffahu alal Iman. And whosoever amongst us you give death on Iman. This is Dua-i Janaza. One of the duas. There's many duas. This is a very famous dua. And especially the Ahnaf, Ahanfis, they read it after the third takbir, after we read, after the first takbir, we do sana, ya surah Fatiha, and then the second takbir, we do durood Ibrahim, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Look at durood Ibrahim, look at durood Shah. Look at salatu wa salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the time a person is born, he has to listen to shahadat. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Then after ashadu an la ilaha illallah, he listens to ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And your salat is not even complete until you read durood, salatu wa salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And janazah, when you leave the world, the second takbir, after the second takbir, even all the imams, what do they read? Durood Ibrahim, or durood, salatu salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look how much, wa rafa'na laka dhikrak, we have exalted your mention, that wherever Allah's name is mentioned. So the first thing that goes into a child's ears is the azan in iqama, which has the shahada of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then even when a person leaves the world, there's takbir, the four great takbirs of salat al-janazah, and then there's dua istiftah, ya surah Fatiha, or then there's salatu wassalam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then read the dua janazah. Allahumma fil li hayyina wa mutina. This is one dua, and there are many other duas too, that many, they're in the books of hadith, and then we do the salam. So we see this dua. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reminding us, worry about our death. The one who's gone, if they went with iman, alhamdulillah. If a person passes away in Ramadan, if a person passed away in a car accident, that's a shahadat. Death of shahadat. All of a sudden death is shahadat. Understand? And a person in the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah. But how are we going to go? Are we going to go with iman? Allahumma man ahyaytu minna fa'ahihi ala al-islam. Keep us alive on Islam. And whosoever you give death, wa man tawaffaytu minna fatawaffahu ala al-iman. Allah give us death on iman. So this is the biggest thing. Allahumma barik lana fi al-maut wa fi ma ba'd al-maut. Allah give us blessing in our death and that after death. Allahumma help us on our sakrat and on our pangs of death, Allah. And Allah, give us a death in the city of your beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in shahadat, in the state of shahadat. This is the dua of Zulm al-Khattab radi Allah ta'ala. So this was just that, you know, the person, they passed away, they've left i'tikaf too, they've gone home, they've gone, aren't they? They asked me, so I said, if you want, you could go. But they said that because there's not so much deen, and if two, three, you know, people are there with deen, they might give them some nasihat and explain and this and that. So I said, yeah, for the sake of deen and dawah, then they went home, they broke their i'tikaf. And then the Hanfi, you have to, if you break your i'tikaf, then you fulfill your i'tikaf, which is a wujubi thing afterwards. So next year, I said, yeah, the year after, they have to do it. But they broke their i'tikaf, they have to go. Understand? So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's very close relative. Their mamu, their mother's brother, and passed away. So Allah give all the marhumin jannah for those. Allah really remember. So like I said, Hazrat Sheikh in his last journeys around the world, to South Africa, to England, that two things. Udhkur dhikr hadim al-ladhat, remember that thing in abundance which kills the desires, maut, death, and salatu wassalam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And like I said, the hadith says too, wa ma jilawha, what does polish the hearts is remembrance of death in tilawatul Qur'an. And I said, tilawatul Qur'an is obvious in the manner of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khulukuhu al-Qur'an. One is recitation of the Qur'an, and one is implementing, practicing Qur'an, putting it into practice. One, there's three things of the Qur'an: reading the Qur'an, practicing the Qur'an, and preaching the Qur'an. Understand? So the second state, today we've forsaken the practicing of the Qur'an. And very, God help, the people in Kimmat, they can help them clean the boxes. So, this is very important. Understand? So, inshallah, today we'll do a bit from Hazrat Sheikh's Majalis. Forward, by Hazrat Mawlana Sayyid Abu Hassan al Nadwi. Alhamdulillahi wassalamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Alhamdulillahi wassalatu wassalamu. Alhamdulillahi wassalatu wassalamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. All praise and thanks are unto Allah, and peace be upon His chosen servants. Just as the blessed month of Ramadan is a month in which the beginning of the revelation of Quran is commemorated, and is a month in which divine mercy, blessings, and luster of the Quran is manifested, and is a festival of spirituality, worship, and obedience, the month of Ramadan is also the season for the fulfillment of the heartfelt desires of the Gnostics, the lovers, and the courageous chosen servants of Allah. This is the month that they wait anxiously for. Sorry, this introduction is written by Sheikh Abul Hassan Ali Nadwi. I'll just tell you his acceptance, his maqbooliyat. My Sheikh used to say, he's a Qutub al-Aqtab. Not Qutub al-Aqtab, sorry, not, he was a Qutub of the time. Because of a dream that my sheikh had. But I'll tell you his acceptance. He passed away in the month of Ramadan in his village in Rai Bareilly. Either it was the 23rd or 25th, I can't remember. But they say that day was Laylatul Qadr. His acceptance was so much that over 2 million people read his Salatul Janaza just in the subcontinent. Right? Over a million in the subcontinent. And look at this maqbooliyat. This person, a great alim passing away in a village, in his village in India. They made Haramain Sharifin Zadahumullah Sharifan. My brother-in-law, Mawlana Shakir, he was in Medina Munawwara. At the time when they made announcement, Sheikh Abul Hassan Ali Nadwi has passed away, and they're reading his janaza ga'iba in Haramain Sharifin Zadahumullah Sharifan. Isn't this maqbooliyat? 4 million people have performed his Salatul Janaza. So this is his introduction. He was a very great alim. He was a khalifa of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Raipuri rahmatullah alayh. Understand? Of our akabirs of the time, Hazrat Tanvi rahmatullah alayh, Hazrat Mawlana Shafi Tanvi rahmatullah alayh, Hazrat Sheikh Abdul Qadir Raipuri, and his Sheikh Abdul Rahim Raipuri, which they call Ala Hazrat. And this at that time, Hazrat Sheikh Hussein Ahmad Madani. And the manzoor and nazar of all these akabir was Hazrat Sheikh al-Hadith Mawlana Muhammad Zakiya rahmatullah alayh. He was the one left that after everybody finished, after everybody passed away, he was the last one left who was strongly connected to all these. Sheikh Ashraf Hazrat Mawlana Shafi'i Thanvi, Hazrat Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madni, and Sheikh Abdul Qadir Raipuri rahmatullah alayh, and Mawlana Ilyas Alias from the Bani Tabligh, who was his uncle. Understand? So he said, this is his introduction. And this is Ramadan in the company of Sheikh Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Alayhi. This is the month that they wait anxiously for and count the days throughout the year in anticipation of this month. Not to mention the awliya of the past, I've heard of some saints in our era who wait anxiously to in anticipation of the next Ramadan immediately upon the sighting of Eid Crescent. So right after the first of Shawwal, they start making dua and waiting for Ramadan. And this is a sunnah. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right 2 months prior, he's making dua, oh Allah, give us blessing in the month of Rajab, give us blessing in the month of Sha'ban, make us reach Ramadan. And from Rajab I taught this dua, and every week we had janaza announcement that so and so passed away, so and so passed away, so on. And on the 29th of Sha'ban, somebody in Sri Lanka passed away. Somebody in Sri Lanka, we had a janaza gaiba on the first or second day of Ramadan, 29th of Shaban. So Allah has brought us to Shaban. I mean, Allah brought us to Ramadan. And Allah gave us the first 10 days, awwal al-rahmah. And He gave us the second, wa wasatahu maghfirah. And wa akhiru itkum min al-nar. In the last 10 days, Allah has brought us. And today is the what? 23rd. The 22nd. 22nd. And tonight after Maghrib is the? 23rd. And 23rd could be Laylatul Qadr. Understand? Any nights could be Laylatul Qadr. Whatever, so Allah has given us. So they used to wait for this. The minute Ramadan al-Mubarak dawns, one witnesses a renewed spirit, lofty enthusiasm, and rejuvenated ardor in them. It seems as if they are saying, these are the days we waited for. People are fulfilling the covenant they made with Allah. And sometimes in ecstasy and intoxication they chant, give us to drink, O cupbearer, the drink that invigorates the heart. For this flower is not harvested every day. So this was all poetry, probably in Farsi or Urdu. As soon as the blessed month of Ramadan dawns, the atmosphere in all the spiritual centers and khankas undergoes a complete transformation. This applies not only to those who reside therein permanently, but also for those who have relationship of bayt and love with the sheikh and murshid. They hail from far and from wide and are attracted to him as iron is attracted to a magnet and as moths are attracted to the flame. These spiritual centers are filled with tilawat, nawafil and ibadah, that it seems that no other activity takes place here besides this, and that there is no other Ramadan to come after this Ramadan. Everyone tries to do better than the other. Allah says, وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. Once Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi wrote to Hazrat Mawlana Imam Al-Hassan and his other friends, Maulana Ghaliban, some other tablighi has a Maulana Harun Saab, who's a son of Maulana Yusuf Saab Rahmatullah Ali. Yeah, Ghaliban has a Maulana Yusuf Saab Rahmatullah. Two, three of his tablighi friends too. He said, the practice of Imam Hanifa, Imam Shafi Rahmatullah, two Quran khatams, one in the day, one at night. Imam Hanifa, two Quran khatams in Ramadan. So the practices of our elders was this. Let's see who can do two Quran khatams. So he got letters of many, many friends, 66, 65, 60, 58, 59, Quran khatams in the month of Ramadan. وَفِي ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ The Shaykh in Fadail Ramadan, he says, I do not say this, me and myself is incompetent not to do anything, but I only say this on وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِكَ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ on تَحْدِيثْ بِالنِّعْمَةِ that Alhamdulillah, the women in the house, the women folk in the house, with their domestic work, easily read 15 to 20 juz. In Hazrat Shaykh's house. Look, there's Siddiqi blood. The descendants of Abu Bakr Siddiq. Our Akabris were like that. Hazrat Tanvi was Faruqi. Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nanuti was Siddiqi. Hazrat Maulana Ilyasa was Siddiqi. Hazrat Shaykh Hussain Ahmad Madni was Sayyid. So they have this blood. Hazrat Maulana Taqi Uthmani and Maulana Mufti Shafi Sahib are Uthmani. Understand? Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu and his family. So these people have it in their blood. Their great, their forefathers were the Sahabas. Obvious. Understand? Hazrat Maulana Saharanpuri was Ayyubi from his mother, father's side, and Sadat from his father's side. I mean, from his mother's side, and Ayyubi from his father's side. So all of our Akabis had this even in their blood, they were like that too. So Hazrat Sheikh's house, the women folk, just they used to read 20 to 30 juz, the women folk, with their domestic work. So Allah enables us to do something. These spiritual centers are filled with tilawat. Everyone tries to do better than the other. So if you have a friend and he's doing five khatams, say I'll do six. Try to beat him. Understand? Try to beat your friend. And Hafiz try to beat each other. Okay, inshallah, I'll do. How much are you going to do? 20 khatams? Okay, I'll do 25. Try to beat each other. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ And then always cry, make dua, Allah you accept. Not to beat each other, but to what? So Allah accepts. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ مُتَنَافِسِ In this, you should compete. But today, how's everybody? Oh, so he's got this car, I have this. Oh, he's got these clothes, I have these clothes. Oh, his house. Oh, he's got this paint and this job. I'll get this. Understand? Dunya people competing about. And that's not something to throw in the garbage. Everyone tries to do better than the other. They do not only consider every day to be the final day of Ramadan, but they regard each day to be the final day of their life on earth. Indeed, they become a true emulation and the living manifestation of Khaja Mir Dard's couplet. O cupbearer, I'm extremely thirsty, so hurry, fill the cup in any way, but fill it fast. Any servant of Allah who enters the environment for a short while to completely forget the dunya world and everything in it, jaded souls derive renewed heat and a new zeal. Disheartened people derive renewed courage and enthusiasm. In fact, dead hearts are enlivened again, and high ambitions surface. It feels as if a current is pulsating from heart to heart, and this current, like an electric shock, invigorates a new life in dead bodies. The heart of everyone who witnesses this spiritual and celestial atmosphere bears testimony that so long as the activity of seeking Allah's pleasure, and as long as these religious and spiritual moths gather around this flame in the spirit, entertaining no worldly or self-aggrandizement motives, and as long as so many people gather in one place solely to please Allah and to build their akhirah hereafter, then the earth will not reach extinction as yet, nor will a divine decree be issued for the perdition of this type of life on earth. Understand? I will say, like these blessings of these, you know, young children who are reading Quran, right? Like the blessings of these people going out in Gush, going to people, calling them for Salat, going out for 40 days, 4 months. Like the way these students are studying in Madaris in the true sense. Like the way these people who are in the Khanqah doing Dhikrullah. Because of this, there's other things around in Toronto. In Toronto, we have the biggest gay parade. Qawmi Lut, what did Allah do? He took them up and then the angel threw them down and then pelted them. This is how much Allah hates this thing. And we have the greatest parades, Maulana. We have these greatest parades of this homosexuality in this society. We have this, all these other types of things which invite towards the displeasure and the wrath and the anger of Allah. But same way we have these people crying in the masajids. This is why we need to cry. We need to cry. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَعْذِبَهُ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. As long as they're doing istighfar and crying, then Allah will not punish them. Understand? All of them. Otherwise, Allah can send a thing. We see what's happening to our brothers and sisters in Sudan, Somalia, and mashallah, majority of them are Hafiz, and they're way better than us. And they don't have that kind of nonsensical things that we have. But are we more favored than they are? No, we cannot have this. But this Allah, so these anka, these da'ulums, these work of da'wah, these children who are reading Quran, masoom children, this is all blessings. This, all these works of da'wah and deen are so much blessings. Allah give us this at all times. So he said, Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Nadwi says, nor will a divine decree be issued for the perdition of this type of life on earth. At the time the person unwittingly becomes a personification of Khaja Hafiz's couplet, in my old age I remember one point from the hundreds of anecdotes I have forgotten. The universe will not disintegrate as long as the tavern of love is populated. It is a tragedy that no eyewitness accounts by any historian exists of the activities in the 8th century Kanka of Sultan al-Mashayikh Mahbub Ilahi Hazrat Khaja Nizamuddin Awliya in Ghayathpur, and in the 13th century Kanka Mazhariya of Shah Ghulam Ali Dehlavi in Chatli, Kabul, Dehli. I have not found any detailed description in any kitab of the spiritual heat that was generated from the dhikr, tilawat, in the night-long worship in those kankas, or of the rules and schedules of those places. A few brief glimpses are obtained in the Fuaidul Fuad, Sirul Awliya, and Darul Ma'arif. Anyone acquainted with the daily activities, the spirit, the enthusiasm, and the practice of these mashayikh can draw a complete picture from the brief description in those kitabs. Deduce the weight of my Lord from my flower garden. However, the kankas and spiritual centers that inherited the legacy of these sanctified centers and the ulama and mashayikh, on whom the heirship of those distinguished predecessors, Salafi Salihin, fell, revive that spectacle and rekindle the spirit of that age in history. There are very few people alive today who witnessed the sheer elegance and brilliance of a Ramadan in Gangoh during the days of Qutb al-Irshad, Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, the Shaykh of Hazrat Maulana Ilyasab, Maulana Yahya, Hazrat Shaykh's father. In Gangoh during the days of Qutb al-Irshad, Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi. However, there are many alive who, after Gangoh, witnessed the bright spiritual fountain that gushed forth during Ramadan under the guidance of Shaykh Waqt, Hazrat Shah Abdul Rahim Raipuri in Raipur, and under Hazrat Hakimul Ummat Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi in Tanabuan. They recall those months of Ramadan with tearful yearning and longing. In my opinion, the person who revived this lost sunnah of our learned predecessors and gave it new life in this age was Shaykhul Islam Hazrat Maulana Sayyid Ahmad Sahib Madani Rahmatullah Alayhi. Indifference to the pleas of his special students and sincere disciples, he made it his standard practice to spend Ramadan in one place. His associates and confidants from the surrounding areas and from the far corners of the country flocked there with yearning and zeal. Hazrat spent his Ramadan in Salat for a few years. Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Mandi, Salat in Bangladesh. Thereafter, he spent a few months of Ramadan in Banskandi, Bengal. One or two Ramadan months were spent in his beloved hometown, Ilaidapura, near Tanda in the district of Faizabad. He spent the Ramadan in his family home. Thousands of murids and close associates gathered in these places to spend the entire month of Ramadan as his guests. Hazrat himself recited the noble Quran in Taraweeh in those places. The entire congregation remained engaged in dhikr and shughal, spiritual exercise, tilawat and ibadah, with firm dedication and charged enthusiasm. His followers attained great heights of ecstasy and elevated spiritual states. They all recall those moments of ecstasy with heartful yearning for a long, long time. See Maulvi Abdul Hamid Azami's kitab, Qiyam al-Salat. Had Allah willed that Maulana live a little longer, then this blessed silsila will probably have flourished in Ilaidapura, And Allah knows alone how many of His servants will have attained their object and traversed through the various stages of tarbiyah and takmeel, spiritual training and accomplishment. Sadly, Mawlana is passing away on Friday night, the 13th Jamadul Awwal, 1377, after Hijrah, terminated this silsila. Many till this day are still rubbing their hands in regret. The Ramadan at my Murshid, Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Qadir Sahib Raipuri, was also spent with exceptional care and due diligence. Prior to partition, his associates from Punjab, of whom a great percentage were ulama, asatiza in madaris, and mashaykh who were khalifas, will arrive in droves during the last few days of Shaban to spend the Ramadan in Raipur. With single-minded dedication, they remain secluded in that village, a village that was not even linked to any city by tarred road or a railway line, totally engrossed in their object, without any concern about the worldly and about the world and whatever it contained. They remain there reaping the full benefits of this blessed month and return to their homes after the Eid Salat. The spirit and ecstasy in the Khanqa in Raipur and the spirituality elevated state of the Shaykh and the seekers during those days can be gauged somewhat from my kitab, Sawane Hazrat Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri, Shaykh Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi's kitab, the Sawane, in his the life story of his Shaykh, Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Raipuri. Besides Raipur, Ramadan was spent with that same fervor in Bahat House, Saharanpur, in Sufi Abdul Hamid Sahib's cottage in Jail Road, Lahore, in Gora Gali, Kamri, Pakistan, in Kalisa Ji College, Lialpur, Faisalabad, where hundreds of disciples and associates gathered to immerse themselves with full vigor in dhikr, tilawat, and mujahada. The cycle of the perpetuation and preservation of the sunnah, nay, its progress and wider propagation, fell to the lot and on the shoulders of that person in whose charge many of his elders, shuyukh, asatiza, and guardians left their work for completion and preservation, and instructed him to compile and publish many works and fulfill many tasks on their behalf, as fate decreed. My worthy of service, Hadar Shaykhul Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Sahib, may Allah extend his blessing, that was at that time, Nawarallahu Markaduhu, may Allah enlighten his grave, started sitting in i'tikaf for the full month of Ramadan in the new hostel of Madrasa Madari Ulum Saharanpur from 1385 after Hijrah. Due to crowds of sincere seekers who started gathering around him, these seekers were especially in search of guidance and leadership and desperately wanted to spend Ramadan in seclusion. In one place after the closure of Raipur, Thanabon, and the death of Maulana Madni. Seekers and associates flocked to him like moths are attracted to a flame. The number of people who came here to stay and the number of mu'takifin also increased gradually. This writer, Yani Shaykh Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi, also had the opportunity to spend a few days of the Ramadan of 1388 and 1390. How many years is that? 1388? Alright, it's 1432. And this is 1388. How much is that? 44 years. So this is 44 years ago. We're not even 44 years old. We're not even 44 years old yet. I'm 41. Brother Adnan just said to me, I go, Shura, my son goes, 14 years old. He goes, when did you get married? Were you 8 when you got married? Brother Adnan, where is he? He goes to me and he goes, he was making love or something, I don't want to say that. But he goes, and then I go, how do you think, how old do you think I look? He goes, 25, 26. I go, yeah, I just read, but Wali, 20, 41, 42. So, Hazrat, this is 44 years ago. Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hasan Ali Nadwi is talking about 44 years ago. This writer also had the opportunity to spend a few days of the Ramadan of 1388 and 1390 after Hijrah in Saharanpur. Footnote, Hazrat Shaykh spent the Ramadan of 1389 after Hijrat in Makkah, Mukarramah, and Medina Tayyibah. This unworthy servant was blessed with the great fortune to spend half of Ramadan in Makkah, Mukarramah during that period. You may refer to Abiti 4 for a detailed account of the practices of that period. Taqiyuddin Nadwi, the one who compiled this Mufuzat, Taqiyuddin, Mawlana Taqiyuddin. Besides the people who continuously flowed in and out, many hundreds sat in full i'tikaf. There was generally about 300 to 350 worshippers always in residence. Besides Indians and Pakistan, many guests were from the Haramain Sharifain, Makkah and Medina, Turkey, South Africa, and England, who flocked here to spend Ramadan and benefit from the blessed company of the Shaykh. They were all Shaykh's guests. And those who used to come from Makkah and Medina, he used to cry. You know, Dr. Ismail Saab here in Buffalo, we read his book last year. When him and Sufi Iqbal Saab, and we read about Sufi Iqbal Saab, his Khalifa, they got both Khilafat. Dr. Ismail Saab, mashallah, Darulum here in Chatham. Also his Darulum in Buffalo. And imagine a doctor, a full doctor who was Hazrat Sheikh's doctor in Medina Munawwara, Allah made him finish his surgery with Hazrat Sheikh's dua, tawajjuh. Hazrat Sheikh, when he was taking care of Hazrat Sheikh, and then Hazrat was like in a little bit of thing, Behoshi, and he said, "Where is Dr. Saab going?" So he said, "He's going to the Tib, he's going to his surgery." So he said, "He should do some work of deen." So Allah made him give some medicine to somebody, and because of that something happened, he had to close down his tib in Medina. And then Allah brought him to Canada. And then Allah took him to America. He started a big darulum in America. And also a Khanka. Khanka Zakaria is here in Port Union. And then back to Canada and a darulum in Canada. And Rasulullah told him to take both citizens. He got both citizens. A resident of Medina. Allah brought him here to do khidmat al-deen. Hazrat Dr. Ismail Saab. He's about 70 years old. Understand? Hazrat Sheikh's Khalifa. So when he and Sufi Saab, they used to come from Medina Munawwara, Makkah and Medina. Mawlana Abdul Hafiz Saab leaving Makkah, he started crying. And one time he said, and Dr. Saab, he said that Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali showed them special attention, and also that year they got Khilafat too. A woman in Hazrat Sheikh's village said, she saw a dream. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "My two visitors are coming from Medina. Take good care of them to Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali." Understand? So when they came, he was crying. And he said, and he has a Dr. Ismail Saab and Sufi Iqbal Saab. Halakhi, Dr. Ismail Saab is not even an alim, but he's a sheikh of ulama, understand? So, this is, and the book is there, has a sheikh's from Van. We have it right there. Pick it up there. This blue one that we read some of it, inshallah, we read some things of it. Last year we read two Sufi Iqbal Saab stuff here. This one here. Everybody should read it. The Ramadan of Hazrat Muhammad Zakariya, our elders, by Dr. Ismail Saab, Hazrat Sheikh's Khalifa. He's here in Chatham. Alhamdulillah, we have him here in Canada. Alhamdulillah, there must be 100 people right now in his darulum there, in the darulum masjid, doing i'tikaf with him, understand? So if you get a chance ever in your life, try to spend a Ramadan with him, or my Sheikh in England. But so people from Saudi Arabia used to come too. And Hazrat used to cry. When they used to come, just meeting them, he used to cry. You said you left Makkah and Medina here, and you came here by me, and you used to cry. Understand? Besides, so many people came from Turkey, South Africa, and England, like my Sheikh, right? And who flock here to spend Ramadan and benefit from the blessed company of the Sheikh. They were all Sheikh's guests. To host so many people from different countries with different tastes. And Hazrat took care of all the expenditures. Over here, I took $20. We took $20 and we gave it to the ones doing intizam. Hazrat Sheikh fed everybody. Where did he get money from? Yes, Allah gave. Understand? If he wanted, he could have copyright his book, Fazail-e A'mal. And he could have took one penny from each Fazail-e A'mal that was sold. And he would have been a millionaire. He would have been a millionaire just by his Fazail-e A'mal. Translated in so many languages. But not one penny he's taken. His father had a kutub khana, Maulana Yahya Saab. And Hazrat Thanvi's Beheshti Zivar. His father, now I can't give you the exact amount, but I'm giving you the example. He had a kutub khana, his father Maulana Yahya Saab. He used to get those printed, for example, 10 rupees. He used to get the kitab Beheshti Zivar printed, Hazrat Thanvi's kitab, for 10 rupees. And you know how much he used to sell them? 8 rupees. He used to sell them for 8 rupees. He used to get them printed. He's a businessman selling books. Why? He wanted everybody to have Beheshti Zivar of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. Understand? And Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali, all his books are just in the Masalik. So, over 500-600 mihman, and he used to take care of everybody and to get different types of food. The Gujaratis like this, he would try to give them that type of food. Understand? Allahu Akbar. So to host so many people from different countries with different tastes, different habits, different aspirations is a very sensitive and difficult task. This task is further complicated by the fact that everyone knows people tend to get extra sensitive in Ramadan and Mubarak. Hazrat's special attendants attend to the needs of all the guests with wisdom, dedication, and vigorous spirits. Among them, Maulana Nasiruddin, Maulana Munawwar Hussain, Sahib, Maulana Kifayatullah. You know Maulana Munawwar Hussain? Remember the story my father-in-law told us downstairs? You guys remember? My father-in-law? Maulana Munawwar Hussain is the second Khalifa of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, one of them is Zakariya. The first Khalifa was Hazrat Mufti Mahmud al-Hassan, who was the grand Mufti of the subcontinent of India, Hazrat, the Grand Mufti Azam of Daulam Devan, Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hassan. Alhamdulillah, I was at his janazah, salat, and I was there. Alhamdulillah, Allah enabled me and blessed me to throw three, minha khalaqnakum wa fiha, three things of dust over his grave to, alhamdulillah, to read his janazah in South Africa, over 10,000 people. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hassan sir. He passed away at the age of about 95, 96 in South Africa. First Khalifa, him. And his second Khalifa here, Maulana Munawwar Hussain. He said, "In Donoko, those two, I've scrubbed for 40 years. I scrubbed them for 40 years. And after 40 years of scrubbing them, I give them ijazat, khilafat in spirituality. 40 years, I scrubbed them, and after that, I give them spiritual. This is why my Shaykh and all Hazrat Shaykh's Khalifas, when they used to sit in front of Hazrat Mufti Sahib, with two cross-legged and with respect. And even Hazrat Maulana Munawwar Hussain. So once Maulana Munawwar Hussain, he wrote a letter to my father-in-law, who's also Khalifa of the Shaykh, one of the closest person to Hazrat Maulana Talha Sahib, Hazrat Shaykh's son right now in India, the grandson of Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. The closest person to Maulana Ilyas Sahib who's living right now, Maulana Talha Sahib, Hazrat Shaykh's son, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya's son, Maulana Talha Sahib's. His name is Maulana Talha. He's the closest person to Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi. Maulana Ilyas used to change his nappies. Understand? Hazrat Maulana Talha Sahib. And the closest person to one of the closest persons to my Maulana Talha Sahib is my father-in-law. Understand? Hazrat Maulana Abdurrahim Sahib. So he wrote a letter to Maulana Abdurrahim Sahib, my father-in-law, when he was at his village in Varachi, India. He said, "I don't know, but I see you in Africa, and I see Yusuf, your brother, in Great Britain, in Europe. And my Shaykh was what? A student studying the final year of his lessons." He goes, "I don't know, but I'm seeing you in Africa and I'm seeing Yusuf in Europe." This was Maulana Munawwar Hussain, the second Khalifa of the Shaykh, rahmatullahi alayhi. So my father-in-law, when he met him, he said, "You must have made fun of this old guy. Budde miyana ye dekha, you all see things, you all see dreams." So he goes, "But wait." Right? So after many years, when my father-in-law, when Hazrat Shaykh sent him to Zambia, in Africa. And then, the first, you know, the opening ceremony of the Darulum, over, mashallah, Allah enabled me, I was there for Etikaf 2 years ago, in the company of my father-in-law, right? Alhamdulillah. He really wanted me to come this year too, but Allah, if Allah accepts somebody, then a person goes. And if a person is not accepted, Allah turns them back. So I wasn't accepted to go to Zambia, that this is the last masjid where Hazrat Shaykh put the foundation. This is Zakaria in Daulam Shipata. My father-in-law's Daulam there. Right? So it said that when he came there, he grabbed his foot, my father-in-law, and he said, yes, that time we made fun of you. Because you said, I see you in Africa and you see brother in England, in Europe. Because now you see my Shaykh's Daulam in Europe. He saw this way when they were students. Allah shows these people these kind of dreams and these kind of things. So this Maulana Munawwar Hussain, he was also in charge of the intizam of Hazrat Shaykh. Like I said, the Hazrat Shaykh's place, he had this much space. Every person had this much space. This much. No more. To know how we are relaxed? That much space. Because they couldn't. You have to feed in 500 people. Understand? That's 500 people. Over 1,000 people used to be there. But there's just 500 mu'takifin over. Right? Hazrat special attendants attend to the needs of all the guests with wisdom, dedication, vigorous spirits. Amongst them, Maulana Nasiruddin, Maulana Munawwar Hussain Sahib, Maulana Mufti Kifayatullah. He was a Khalifa of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi too. He passed away. Alhamdulillah, I was fortunate to see him too. Palanpuri and other scholars deserve our special gratitude and dua. Where flattery and encouragement is needed, they give that too. Details of their service can be seen in the kitab Sawani Yusufi, in the chapter where Shaykh is detailed. Sawani Yusuf is translated in Arabic right there. That book there, Maulana Yusuf Kandili's book there, right beside it. Sawani Yusufi is that book in Arabic. It's translated in Arabic. Understand? It's a book of Hazrat Maulana Yusuf's life. It's in there. It's in English. I mean, it's in Urdu and it's in Arabic. But I don't know if it's translated in a thing. It's written by Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Nadwi's nephew, by Maulana Muhammad Sani. And in there, when there was a chapter concerning Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakariya. So Hazrat Muhammad Zakariya became very upset and he said, "Take it out, take it out." And then he said, "Why did you pollute the attar bottle or bottle of perfume by putting a piece of putting a drop of urine in it?" He said, "Why did you pollute the bottle of fragrance by putting a drop of urine in it?" Because there was one whole chapter just about Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakariya. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Sani, I think he wrote in the book Maulana Muhammad Sani. There's Muhammad Awwal, Muhammad Sani, Muhammad Thalith, and Muhammad Rabi'. Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Nadwi's nephews, one was named Muhammad Awwal, Muhammad Sani, Muhammad Thalith, and Muhammad Rabi'. So I think Maulana Muhammad Rabi' and Muhammad Thani, who I think he was the Khalifa of the Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakariya, he written Sawani Yusufi. So in there, Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Nadwi is saying, details of their service can be seen in the kitab Sawani Yusufi, in the chapter where Shaykh is detailed, and he has a Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakariya. The numbers of visitors here are increasing daily, and the intensity, blessings and spirituality is also increasing daily here. The year that I was asked to write this introduction, there were more than 300 Mu'takifin. Footnote 2. This is only the number of registered Mu'takifin. Otherwise, generally, the number of guests present towards the end of Ramadan were more than 5,000. Footnote. The practice in the past, now this is the mamulat of the whole, how the Ramzan was, the day was spent. The practice in the past was that after iftar, dinner and nawafil, the Mu'takifin and all those who resided there assemble around Shaykh without any particular preparation, show, flair or order, for the Shaykh will deliver advice for the reform and spiritual development of those who were present. There wasn't all this kind of show. You see this show here? You see the show? For the Shaykh didn't have all this type of show here. Understand? All this internet and that. During those discourses, many advice for the reform and spiritual development of those who were present. During those discourses, many stories and incidents from the lives of the pious elders were narrated and raised the courage and strengthened the resolve of all those who were present. A few salient points of tasawwuf and suluk were also explained. A few points on advanced ilmi research were also discussed. He also narrated a few moral inspiring incidents from his own life. Occasionally, he censored any carelessness and recklessness that came to his attention. In short, and then what would happen is he would be in his thing and he would say, "Lift up the curtains or move the curtains." And then if that happened, then everybody would be shaking. Because then he would scream. Understand? And say, "Where is Yusuf? Where's Abdul Rahim's brother? Tell him if he doesn't want to practice or if he doesn't want to listen, get out of here, go home." Understand? As a Shaykh. Why? My Shaykh asked him. He wants to do is he wants to start a zikr. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. So he told him, "I don't give zikr to students. You're still a student. When you finish your studies, then." So then he asked his brother, "Request Shaykh again, that can I have my zikr?" Because my Shaykh thought that maybe I'm too sinful and I'm too dirty to start zikr. This is why I'm not getting zikr. So my Shaykh started crying and asking istighfar, istighfar. And then he asked his brother, "Just request again to Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi, to Shaykh, if I can have zikr." So he was in his Mu'takif, Hazrat Shaykh was, his curtains. He said, "Move the curtains." And he screamed from the one side of the masjid, "Kahan Abdul Rahim ka bhai? Where is Abdul Rahim's brother? Tell him, if he doesn't want to follow the rules, get out of here, take your stuff and get out of here." That's it. Understand? That's it. So now today somebody will say, "What kind of screaming is this?" Understand? Hazrat Shaykh was very jalali. Very, very jalali. He was so much jalal, so much heat he had. Right? But same way, the next second, somebody just said, "Hazrat, I made a mistake, forgive and forget." Never notice. Understand? The islah that used to be done in these khankas, these Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hafiz, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hafiz of Damat Barakatuhum, is that person who always
talks to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who all the mushuras that Hazrat Shaykh wanted to go anywhere, we'd tell Abdul Hafiz, find out from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in Mukashafa, he would think. So that was his distinguished Khalifa. So he said, my father-in-law says, he always tells us, what Islah can you guys take? My father-in-law tells us, what Islah can you guys take? You guys would run away? You guys are, you know, your heads are too big. And that's true. We are full of ego. He goes, our Mawlana Abdul Hafiz, he goes, once he presented some achar or chutney to Hazrat Shaykh. Hazrat, this is your gift. This is a gift for you. This is a gift for you. So he took it as a Shaykh. And he said, okay, there, very well. He put it on the dastakhan. He just put it on the dastakhan there, right? As a Shaykh did. And on the dastakhan in the, where they were sitting to eat. And then, whilst they were eating, somebody went like that and gave a shout out. And Maulana Abdul Hafiz was near as a Shaykh for the chutney or the achar that he gave to as a Shaykh. So he went like this and he touched it. He said, what are you doing? Who said you can touch my stuff? You just gave me something and now you're touching it? Now you're touching it? Why do you touch it? And now, have you got a favor upon me that you give it to me? If you wanted to give it to me and you wanted to take it yourself, then why did you give it to me? Don't you know, it says in hadith, that if a person gives a hadiah and he takes it back, it's like a dog vomiting and eating his vomit? Why did you touch it? That was it. Now, if it was us, and he, remember, this is that person that touched the Prophet for him. Understand? Just quiet. And there's 100 ulamas, 100 Shaykh al Hadith, Hazrat Mufti Mahmud al Hassan, the grand Mufti of the Ulum Day, but even him, look down, nothing, khalas. Nobody. Understand? What? But what was he teaching? These people were way up there, and they had to go even way up. Understand? He was teaching. In the Hadith, it says that a person, he gives a hadiah to somebody. And it happens to me by mistake too, many times. That I give a pen to somebody, and then I say, can I borrow a pen? Or I say, I give a atr to somebody, and then I say, Chim, put some on him. Now that's like a dog who vomited. How can I tell that person, give some to him? If I give a hadiah, if I give Harith this atr bottle in my pocket, and then I say to Harith, Ramzan comes, I go to Harith, Harith, give him atr. Well, I give you that atr. Harith has the rights to take that atr and go into the washroom and go like this, or he has the rights to give it to somebody, or he has the rights to do anything with that atr bottle that I've given him. Now, it's called tasarruf in something, to have your rights upon something. If this book is mine, Harith does not have the rights to give it to somebody else. He does not have the rights to take it out of the masjid or do whatever he wants with it, because it's my belonging. But if I give this book to him, it's his now. Now I have no rights. Ramzan says, I want to use a book, and I say, there, can you can use this book. I have no rights. Understand? So important. Now if I do this, if I went like this, and I said to Ramadan, there, you can borrow it. And I have given it to him. I have given hadiah. I had given hadiah, and he took it in his hands. He took it in his hands. If he didn't take it in his hands, he just put it. Hazrat Shaykh took it, and he put it on the dastakhan. Remember that. So the qabza is necessary in hibah, in hadiah, right? In the Hanafi mazhab. So the qabza, meaning a person takes it in his hands, because this is the condition of hadiah. So if a person just gave it, and he didn't take it, but he took it. Now these are very explicit rulings of fiqh. So he says in a hadith, a person who gives hadiah to somebody, and then he takes it back, it's like a person, it's like a dog who vomits. I always say it wrong, my wife always corrects me. I always say a W instead of the V. Is it a V? Is it vomit? It's a V. Is it W or a V?
V.
See, we got confused because you say it like me too. All right. Another one in the group. My wife always tells me, and my son laughs too. They all laugh at me at home. Then they say in front of everybody, you say that too. I go, yeah, so what? I don't know English. So, vomit or vomit. What is it? Vomit. So take my mistakes, because a person should speak right English. Understand? So vomit. So it's like a dog vomiting and taking back his vomit. A dog vomiting and taking it. So he's teaching him that. And that once you've given a hadiah, you have no rights to do tasarruf, you have no rights of your say into it. Understand? Not just him, teaching everybody else that. So now, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh, if it's his pen and somebody just touched his pen, his khalifa or his pen, halaki, he would give millions. He would give millions of rupees to people hadiah and that. But somebody just touches things without permission, he'd be so upset. Why? He taught them that if you touch your shaykh stuff without permission, then, you know, the public things, you're going to be running darlums, you're going to be running masajids, you're going to be having all this wakaf money people's money, you'll be putting that into your pocket. If you touch your sheikh's stuff, if you have that much, then the public's treasury, which wakaf stuff, which people don't even know, you'll be putting that into your pocket. This is why that issue was made very big. Amana. It's made very big. So now a person might think this is very small. So my father-in-law used to tell us, can you know this type of turning off? You guys would run away from Hazrat Shaykh. You guys would run away. Or Rasulullah never did this. What do we know? Rasulullah once a villager, he had a robe on, and he was thin, and he was walking in front of Rasulullah, and he said, this nomad, this dihati, this Arabi, he wants to surpass every person, and he was showing off. So Rasulullah pulled his jubba and he put him down, and he said, aren't you talking like a fool? Understand? He said, and then he talked about Noah alayhi salatu wasalam at the time of death gave two nasihs to his son, I can't remember the whole hadith, but Rasulullah did that type of stuff. Once Rasulullah saw a ring on a sahabi, he took it and he threw it down. From the sahabi, he took it and he threw it down, and he said, "If you want hell, take it." Understand, right? Rasulullah did this type of islah. He took it and he threw it down. Now look at the sahabi. If it was me and you, he humiliated me in front of everybody. Sabke samne, I'm a sheikh in front of everybody. He told me off. Look at all those people. They're gonna think that this is the way we'd feel. Now look at the sahabi. Somebody told him afterwards, you know, you can sell it or you can take it and give it to your wife or sell it. He said, I will not touch that thing that Rasulullah took out of my hands. This is their love. No taqabbul. And then there's also this, a person comes into the masjid of Rasulullah and he's urinating. He starts urinating. And Rasulullah, when the sahabas go to tell him, hey, stop. Rasulullah stops them. So there's different, somebody could do the most wrong thing and Rasulullah could be quiet. And those who are very close to Rasulullah, if they're just wearing a ring Rasulullah did not like, he would take it and throw it on the floor. Understand? Islam. This is it. A person could be a sheikh. My father, right now, little things we've done Islam right now. I just phoned him. Yes, I remember. He gives salams to all of you. And he said, make dua for him just before atikaf. He's sitting in atikaf too. He gives special salams. We were so fortunate. He used to read salat right here. Right here, he used to read salat every day. Such a person who was a sheikh, rahmatullah alayhi, says, if I die, his sheikh said to him, if I die, then give khilafah, give ijazah to my son Talha and to your brother Maulana Yusuf Sahib, my sheikh. That's, he said that to my father. He said about my father-in-law that through Abdul Rahim, Sufi Basab used to say, has a sheikh used to say this, that through you I get spiritual benefit. Understand? So this is, alhamdulillah, he used to read salat here and thing, and we were fortunate, alhamdulillah, a lot of us came to the airport, and when he was here, alhamdulillah, many of you, Ali, he remember you special, and he told you to phone too, and he was making dua, and he said this special thing, he said, give everybody salams, tell them to make dua for me, I'm also making dua for them, he said to make dua for him, my father-in-law, in Zambia. He is a very close person to Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, rahmatullahi alayhi. So alhamdulillah, you know, the nazar of these awliya Allah kiram. Understand? It takes a long time to take up this me, in me. Understand? A person has to stay in sohbat of a shaykh for years and years, and then he takes it out. You know, when my father-in-law is here, I feel very, very relief. And when he's not around, I feel that my iman is going to go. A person sitting on a position like this is much more hard than a person who is under a shaykh. When you're under a shaykh, at least that shaykh can even tell you, he can even scream at you, and your salah could be done. And when you're a shaykh yourself, you're nobody to do your Islam. And I'm a very young guy. I'm far away from my sheikh all the time. So when my father-in-law is here, he's at my house, I feel very, very much relieved that inshallah, if he's here, at least I will die with iman. Right now, I don't even know if I'm going to die with iman because shaky. Over there, little things. My father-in-law, if I tell you some of the stories, little things. Okay, this Qasim who went to his uncle's janazah, who broke his atikaf, sunnah, didn't break his Qasim prayer. He got a new car, and it was a Thursday or something, and we had to thing it. So my father-in-law's there, and I told my father for blessing come in, and my father-in-law's not a driver, so I drove it. And Qasim was in the car too. And then he said, you bought this halal, you know, without interest, or without bank? Yes. And then he said, a Muslim. He said, why am I asking you this? And then he gave du'as to him, the blessing of the car. And he said, now if I had given you du'a and you bought this on interest, then it's kufr. I could have gone on kufr. Just by giving du'a to you. Now, an ignorant sheikh like me will get in the car and just start driving and start making du'a. Like, Qasim, Allah give you this blessing, blessing, blessing. But with my father-in-law, he's there. He, because in front of my father-in-law, I don't speak. Because he's a shaykh. Why do I need to speak? And only, alhamdulillah, this year he accepted the Thursday dars and he gave us dars too, alhamdulillah. And I told the brothers, even if you don't know Urdu, just sitting with a person who's so spiritually uplifted is good. Understand? Just sitting. And I told, and I always used to tell them, okay, my shaykhs, majlis, since I was 12, 13 years old, I used to sit in 45 minutes of Urdu. Not one word I would understand, but I would just sit. Because, why? There's something hard to heart. My shaykh says that a shaykh used to say, a person who does not benefit from our, jo hamari khamushi se, jisko fayda nahi hota, wo hamari majlis mein na aya kare. A shaykh used to sit there, and everybody used to sit there, quiet, for 2-3 hours. And he used to say this, one thing. If somebody does not benefit from my quietness, then don't come to my gathering, khalas. That was the majlis. Today we have to speak, we have this internet, we have this. If the shaykh doesn't translate in English, but in those, it's just heart to heart. These things have our heart. So my father-in-law, alhamdulillah, I was with him that. There are many, many occasions, many, many things, little, little things he picks on when he tells us. And these are big masala masayas. Understand? Big Muslim Masala. My uncle, who I grew up with, Khalifa Abdul Sheikh Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali, sometimes in a hot day, he would tell somebody, go get cold water. So, when he would go to get the cold water, he would say, yo, when you're going to get the cold water, and you're going to let the tap run, so the water is going to be running. Allah, you're going to have to give hisab for that water. You're going to have to give hisab for the water to get me cold water. So make intention, and also go like this with the water around the sink, and clean the sink, and also make intention that you're cleaning it. And then when the cold water comes, then get the cold water. But don't let that water. Little things like this, you learn it from those people who... Once we were going on a collection for our Darul Jawar, which you guys gave last year too, Jazakallah Allah give you, and over my parents who were there, alhamdulillah, so much benefit, and they've done so much work with that money, alhamdulillah, and the students and that. And last year you guys gave, even this year you guys encouraged. They said that I was in one holiday, I was with my uncle, Mawlana Hashim Sahib, he's Khalifa of the Shaykh Rahmatullahi too, and we're going to Dundee, Scotland, to go for collection. So sometimes you see, when you speak in front of Shaykh to show your piety, it's not exactly right, you get told off, but you also get to learn. So he told me, Zakaria, they sometimes, for your encouragement, they also take mashura from you. Sometimes a shaykh takes mashura for the encouragement of their disciples. So he, for encouragement, he said, how much receipt books should we take? So that hadith came into my mind, Allahu with yuhabbil watr. Allah is odd, Allah loves odd. Rasulullah saw someone, he used to eat dates, it says in hadith of Bukhari, on the day of Eid, on Eid al-Fitr, before he used to come for Eid Salat, وَيَأْقُلُهُنَّ وِتْرًا. Rasulullah used to eat the dates in odd number. He used to eat 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, whatever, odd number. It says in the hadith of Bukhari, وَيَأْقُلُهُنَّ وِتْرًا. He used to eat it. So, and Allah with, يُحِبُّ الْوَتْ. Allah is what? Allah is odd, one, and Allah loves odd. So, I said to my uncle, I said to him, in one bunch, there was six. Right? And I said to him, take seven, because it's odd number. I said to him, take seven, because it's odd number. Take seven receipt books when we go to Dundee. We might need seven, we might need three, whatever, but take extra. But take odd number, seven. And in one bunch, there's a bunch of six. So he goes to me, that's a good idea. We'll have to take one out of the other bunch. But you know what? I'll make intention of one bunch. I'll make intention of one bunch, which will be watar too. Okay? Now that solved my problem in buying eggs. Because when you buy eggs, how much do you buy? How much do you buy? A dozen. So you buy one? A dozen. You buy? One dozen. When you go to the store, you don't take one egg out of the box and over your head. When my wife says, get tomatoes. So when you're going grocery, do ibadat. So your wife gives you a list. Bananas, tomatoes and that. So I see the banana in the bundle. You can make one bunch, or you can see the one bunch with seven in it, or five, whatever. Double with it. Or when you're buying tomatoes, then put seven or five. Allah knows what? This barakah, this blessing. If Rasulullah SAW, wa yaqulu hunna witr, there must be something in it. Why did he eat dates and what? So when you at iftari time eat dates, then eat it in water. Understand? Eat 3 dates, eat 1 date, eat 5 dates, eat 7 dates, eat 9 dates, or eat 15 dates. But eat them in odd number. Understand that? There's blessings in it. There's worldly and for sure ukhari blessings in it. Just a point on iftari. Just bring Riyaz al-Salihin. Just 2 minutes, we're way off time, but this is very important. You know, what is for a person fasting at the time when the sun has set, the top one, what is the greatest thing, ibadat, that a fasting person can do when the sun has set? What is the greatest ibadat? When the sun is setting, and you're fasting, and the sun is set, what is the greatest ibadat? What is the greatest worship that you can do?
Eating, fasting.
Imagine. Eating is the greatest ibadat. Yesterday, azan went on 8:15, and sunset at 8:12. Medina Masjid and Masjid Taqwa calendars, they've already added the 3 minutes. So it says on top, it says iftar. It doesn't say sunset time. What time does it say?
Iftar.
And the Muazzin Shahid Bhai, he gives at that time. 8:15, he gave azan yesterday. Right? So now, when did the sun set? 8:12. The sun has set. But because we don't do mushahada, we don't see with our eyes. And you always get sometimes funny type of people in the dunya, right? So sometimes people come to the masjid and do funny things. They don't know the rules and regulations of the masjid. There's somebody giving adhan that. So sometimes there's people who want to interrupt, right? And then they, Quran, hadith. That's the way they act too sometimes. So one day, he just stood up to give adhan, this person. MashaAllah. He knew a little bit Arabic. So he gave adhan. The brother Shahid Bhai was going to give adhan, but he said, I'm giving adhan. And he goes, the sun has set, I'm giving adhan. I mean, the time says like this. And he said, no, we waited for 3 minutes. He goes, no, you don't need to wait for 3 minutes. It says on the timetable. It says on the timetable, certain time. For example, 8 o'clock. And why are you waiting for 8:03? He said, the imam said, and we over here in the masjid, we give it after 3 minutes. He goes, no, you just follow Quran and hadith. Allah will allow me to start giving adhan. He gave adhan. Alhamdulillah, nothing. After salat, and I know exactly when azan is. So I thought, we were downstairs doing dhikr. And I thought, the azan is already finished. And I came up. So the Shahid Bhai told me that somebody else gave it. And then he told me, no, he was going to tell. Yeah, he did tell me. Okay, that person said, we just have to give it when it says on the timetable. So I go, okay. So after that, I went to him. I go, Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. I go, MashaAllah, brother, you give azan. Very good azan. And you should give it. No, I said to him, you give azan. MashaAllah, very nice azan. I go, did you see the sunset? He goes, no. I go, how did you give azan? So he goes, I looked at the timetable. I go, so you looked at the timetable when you give azan? But did you see the sun setting? No. Then how can you give azan? He goes, it said in the timetable. So I said, oh, okay, it said in the timetable. So I said, you know, in this masjid, we have a rule that we give it after 3 minutes. We give it after 3 minutes. And I think the brother even told you. He goes, yeah, he did tell me. But I said that you just need to look at... I go, but why do you need to look at the timetable? What does it say in the hadith? What does it say in the Quran? I go, you look at the sun setting. I said, you're supposed to look at the sun setting. What does it say in the Quran and the hadith that you're supposed to look at the timetable? The timetable is wrong. I said, you're supposed to. Then I said, ihtiyat, caution, that we look. Because I didn't say to him, brother, why didn't you give after 3 minutes? Or brother, why didn't you... follow. I said to him, did you look at sunset? And if he said to me, yes, Sheikh, I looked at sunset, I would have said nothing. Khalas. There's no argument. But I know he looked at the timetable in that. So now the timetable has a time. So if the time is 8:12, this is the time the sun is setting or set. The azan in all masajids in Toronto, for caution, they give it after 3 or 5 minutes. Majority of them give it after 3, 5 is very late. So 3 minutes. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam Nawawi, a whole chapter, you guys weren't here at the beginning of Ramadan, but we read it, that there are hadiths. One hadith is, the people will be on khair. The people will be on good as long as they do iftar early. As long as the people do iftar early, they will be on khair. They will be on good, otherwise they will be on no good. As soon as the sun set, they do it. So now Because of ihtiyat, we have to give that 3 minutes. Why do we give that 3 minutes? Because it's not our practice that we go and see the sun and the moon and the time and the we don't do all this nowadays, so we have a timetable. So the timetable is right, but just for caution's sake, just so that our fast is not off track, or if the clock or the watch went 1 minute or 2 minutes forward and we made a mistake in that 1-2 minute, then we're not off track and our fast doesn't go down the drain, we give it after 3 minutes. So soon as the muazzin says, Allahu Akbar. So now, if today azan is at 8:14, by 8:12 we should start finishing our dua. We should start finishing our dua, recitation of the Quran, everything. We should start going towards the greatest ibadat. Go towards the greatest ibadat. What's the greatest ibadat?
Eating.
Understand? So before 5-10 minutes, start your dua. And start crying and making dua for the ummah. The dua is very important. Your dua is accepted too. But then 8:14, if the muazzin is going to give adhan, then 1-2 minutes before 8:14, we should start washing our hands in that. And everybody should have the date in their hands. And soon as he says, Allahu Akbar, Allahumma laka sunta wa bika amanta wa ya wasil, or start reading the dua before, bite it. Read the dua before. Zahab al-zama wa talati al-uruk wa thabat al-ajr inshaAllah. Allahumma laka sunta wa bika amanta wa ya wasil, fawli ya wasil, ikfirli ya wasil. Make the dua, you keep making dua. And then, soon as he says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and bismillah. Understand? Break it straight away. Why? Allah, food is haram, haram. You said it's haram? No, I can't eat. Allah, you said it's halal? I'm going to eat. So you run to eat that food, showing Allah, Allah, I'm your servant. You made it halal, I have to eat it. Allah, you made it haram, I cannot eat it. That's called abdiyat. We have to abdiyat. But the angels do that. The angels are always making dua. They're always saying subhanallah. They're always saying Allah Akbar. They're always praying salat. They're always doing that. They're subhanat. They're always doing tasbih. But you're abdiyat. You're not made out of nur. Understand? Show your abdiyat. Understand? The angels are always doing subhanallah, alhamdulillah. The angels are always doing. You are following what Allah told you to follow. The angels, they don't eat, they don't drink. You're getting the sifat in malakutiya in you whilst you're fasting. You're getting those spiritual sifat. And this is the best way to get those things, inshallah, qualities. But now that abd, Allah loves abd. Rasulullah s.a.w. I'm abd. Qala inni abdullah. Isa alayhi salam said, I'm abd. And abdiyat has a taqaza. Abdiyat has to eat food. Yeah, a servant eats food. Understand, angels don't eat food. So show Allah you're in need of food. And do ibadat. And when you eat that ibadat, farhatan, two great farhats, great happiness. One is when you eat it, and one when you meet your Allah. When you meet Allah, imagine how it's going to be. So when you're that servant who goes and eats his food like that, so imagine we're going to eat our food like this. So imagine on the Day of Judgment, we're going to go and grab Allah like this. Well, we can't grab Allah, but we're going to see Allah. Allah is going to show us. So imagine when you're going to see Allah. Understand? So in the fitrihi, yani farhatan, in the liqa rabbihi, that when for the saim, there's two happiness. One happiness is when he eats. So show your happiness, show your eagerness. Ah, look at the juicy days. And sorry we're not having samosa and all those other things. I deprived you. But inshallah after that. But right now it's going to be, I told them to get much dates and different types of dates. Try to get some fresh ones, gutubs and everything. So they have different types of dates. But I deprived you, sorry, of the other things. But that date and that, look at it. And alhamdulillah. So inshallah on the Day of Judgment, when we see, there'll be when we meet Allah too, there'll be such enthusiasm and happiness too, inshallah. Right? So everybody remember that. And always, even when you're in your masjid, remember that the greatest thing. And if you're not sitting on a dastakhan, then you should have a date ready with you. So soon as the muazzin says the Allahu Akbar, you eat it. And then after that, if you want to carry on your dua, your ibadah, you should be honest. Brothers who want to sleep in that, they can start sleeping in that.